What's going on, Tan and J Man Show Nation? It's Monday night. It's June 2nd, 2025. Hard to believe we're already pretty much in the halfway point of 2025 as we're in the sixth month of the year. But I guess time flies when you're having fun. That's what the old saying says. So I guess we're having fun here on the Tan and J Man Show. Episode 446 underway. I'm Tanner Lee. Co-host Josh the J Man Munt is absent tonight. So called to the bullpen in relief once again, my father, Eric Lee. Dad, thanks for joining me again.
You're welcome. Always glad to join.
I don't know if you're more of a setup man or a closer, but I think you're more than a middle reliever. So
I got that high 60s fastball, 62, 63.
Are you sure it's even in the 60s?
No, I'm not. I'm more of a T-ball guy.
Just even thinking about throwing a ball, trying to throw 60 miles per hour hurts my shoulder thinking about it.
Yeah.
But we got a lot going on in the world of sports. The NBA Finals are set. The Indiana Pacers advancing to the NBA Finals for the second time in franchise history. First time in 25 years, dating back to 2000 when they made it and lost 4-2 to the Lakers. And taking them on the Western Conference side of things will be the Oklahoma City Thunder, who are making their first finals appearance since 2016. Both teams technically looking for their first NBA championship. But if you want to get real down to the details, the Thunder, if you're talking lineage, the Thunder, when they were the Sonics, won in the 80s.
Right. Well, actually, late 70s, I think it was.
78, 79, nine-ish, yeah.
Dennis Johnson, Jack Sikma, Slick Watts. I remember they beat the, then it was called the Washington Bullets.
Yeah, I should know this. As a diehard Sonic fan, I should know this. But
sure.
I do not off the top of my head.
Thad
Mooney on Facebook says, you are the all-encompassing pitcher. Start, middle, and closing, whatever the show needs.
I always like that.
Yeah.
Seems to be smart. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Except he's a Red Sox fan. But other than that.
Yeah.
MLB going hot and heavy. I mean, we'll get into it later. But the Colorado Rockies still looking for their 10th win of the season.
9-50 and growing.
9-50. So the Denver Broncos have still won more games this past season than the Rockies. Scottie Scheffler has won as many golf tournaments since May 4th. That the Rockies have won baseball games, 3 each.
Yeah. And he's probably got 9 wins at least in the last 2 years, maybe 10. So
it is unbelievable the stats that the Rockies are surpassing. The stats of the categories in the company you don't want to be in.
But yeah. What do you do?
It's on the management and the ownership. I mean, it's been for years and it's just really rearing its ugly head. I mean, Bud Black's probably relieved that he was relieved of his duties. They've went 2-17 since he's been fired, so he wasn't the reason.
I don't think it was Bud Black's fault.
No, it's just they're bad.
Well, if you think about it, I don't know how long the Rockies have been in existence, but
it's 95.
Who's the best pitcher ever on the Colorado Rockies?
Well, I think statistic wise, it's either Edwin Encarnacion or Obaldo Jimenez or Justin Jennings.
Well, right there's a reason they never had a great pitcher.
But, and I know we'll get into the birdie or bogey question here in a bit, but the MLB knew this when they put a team in Denver, Colorado. It was going to be a hitter's advantage, extremely tough to pitch, and then the hitters for the Rockies are probably going to have a disadvantage going on the road. And they did it anyways.
Well, the pitchers are still pitching 81 games away from Colorado, so they could at least show up there, I guess. Yeah, I can understand their ERA being, you know, an additional run, perhaps because of the light air up in Denver, Colorado. But
looking at their historical pitching stats, all-time winning pitcher is Jorge De La Rosa with 86 wins.
Yeah, that's pretty sad.
Yep. Let's see here. Game started, Kyle Freeland with 212. Complete games, Pedro Estacio with 14. Shutouts. Jason Jennings and Eduardo Jimenez both tied with three.
There you go.
Yeah, not good.
You know, they've had
Marquez is a strikeout leader, but
Troy Tulowitzki, Larry Walker, and Todd Helton were all great Rockies, but that's about the list.
I don't even know if I put Troy Tulowitzki on there. I think Nolan Arenado probably passed him before they traded him to the Cardinals. They still have Carlos Gonzalez was decent, Vinny Castilla, Deontay Bichette, Andres Galarraga. That was the Blake Street Bomber days.
Yeah.
But no, Helton and Walker are their Hall of Famers. So they're just it's just a joke of a franchise. You can't tell me there's not a handful of AAA teams that would beat this Colorado Rocky team.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
No hope in sight.
Thad Mooney, in response to my Red Sox comment, still got more recent rings than your boys, Tanner. Can't use the total series wins debate because that would be Indy and IU fan level claiming their titles of the past. Haha.
That's true. I have to agree with that on that one.
That's true. I oftentimes say, you know, at least I have seen the Yankees win a couple championships in my lifetime, but I can't talk about most of their 27 championships.
No.
I get it. Fair enough.
A lot of them I can't talk about either. They're prior to me being born.
Birdie or bogey question tonight brought to you by Arlington Public House. Since the Pacers are in the NBA Finals, this is going to be a Pacer-heavy themed episode tonight. There have been six Pacer players all time, historically in franchise history, to play 10 or more seasons with the Pacers. Name those six.
And does this count ABA days?
I'm guessing it does by one name on the list.
Okay.
But I'm not 100% sure. And you, of course, six will get you a birdie. I'll say you get four to get a par.
Yeah. I'm seeing a bogey on this one. But
yeah, it's tough. It's tough. But I wanted to do something Pacers related or NBA Finals related. And couldn't find a lot of good finals questions we haven't done already on the show.
So 10 or more years, only one team or just 10 years with the Pacers and they could have played on another team?
Correct. They played at least 10 years for the Pacers.
Okay.
Yep. Sean Shriver on Facebook, Matt Holliday took Rockies to the World Series. That is true.
Yeah.
Don't tell that to Padre fans. They still don't think he was safe. It is pretty incredible. The Colorado Rockies have made the World Series, made playoffs four or five times in their franchise history. I think it's five, but have never won their division. Never won the NL West. That's pretty sad, too. But
there's some pretty good franchises out west there.
Yeah. Birdie or bogey question, like I said, is brought to you by Arlington Public House. Arlington Public House has upscale cuisine and cocktails with a casual atmosphere located on 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana. And let's see what they had this weekend as far as entrees and features. Their weekend special, they had Malibu shrimp served with coconut rice and all-you-could-eat fish served with fries. So still going with the seafood specials, and then her soups were loaded baked potato and chicken and dumplings. So if that sounds good to you or anything on their menu sounds good to you, go check them out. Open tomorrow night on Tuesday through Saturday, 4 to 9 p.m. Tuesday through Thursday, and 4 to 10 p.m. Friday and Saturday. Can't go wrong with anything on their menu. Another good stat here, Sean Shriver on Facebook says, the Marlins have won the World Series twice but never won their division. I did not know that.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, they seem to get a team put together and win it and then just completely
break it down. Well, we've been talking a lot of baseball. Let's go ahead and just keep talking baseball. You said you had something interesting to bring up.
Well, I was, in case we talked baseball, I had a few things I thought were interesting this year. Obviously, Aaron Judge, here it is almost 60 games in, and he's flirting with 400. Top three or four in the league in homers and RBIs, leading the league in hits, on base percentage, OPS, and his WAR is 4.7, which is wins above replacement. You know, and Ohtani obviously also having a great year, nothing like Judge, but 22 homers hitting almost 300. But I was looking around. I noticed Kyle Schwarber had 19 home runs. And so I looked up, and he has 303 in his career. And I got thinking about that great Cub team, and a lot of your listeners are probably Cub fans of 2016. Sure. Are there any Cubs from 2016 that will make the Hall of Fame?
No. No.
My only thought is maybe John Lester, even though he won't go down as a Cub, so to speak. You know, a lot of his great years were in Boston and stuff. And, you know, some of these guys you thought would be stars, like Chris Bryant's 184 career homers, can't stay healthy. Javi Baez, 197, has become a shell of himself, although he's had a little resurrection this year. But I don't think any Rizzo ended up with Rizzo's the one with 303 career home runs, but he only batted 261. I don't think any Cub will. Maybe John Lester.
But, you know, I was quick to say no, and I'm still sticking with my answer of no. But the Hall of Fame, not just MLB, but even the NFL anymore, but more so in MLB, in my opinion, they're taking some guys. They've taken some guys lately that I'm like, 10, 15 years ago, would they really be Hall of Famers? I feel like they're loosening up on their criteria a little bit. And it still rubs me the wrong way. I know there's a lot of guys who cheated with steroids, but to not have Bonds, Clemens, Schilling, McGuire, Sosa, Rodriguez, those guys in the Hall of Fame, just, I mean, come on.
And I think the stats that some of those guys put up, and your Rafael Palmeiros and Gary Sheffields of the past, they make other guys like Don Mattingly and Dale Murphy. Those are two guys I always considered Hall of Famers. I mean, Dale Murphy was a back-to-back MVP. How many two-time MVPs aren't in the Hall of Fame? I mean, that means you're the best player in baseball that year.
Mm-hmm.
Mattingly was a stud for a decade. So I got to kind of agree with you. The only other Cub that might I doubt it, but Chapman, the reliever?
No.
Yeah, it looked like those Cubs were going to be a dominant team for a decade, and it really just fizzled out as far as all the guys who were under 25 years old that looked like they're going to be superstars, a la Chris Bryant and Javi Baez, and it just really didn't turn out to be much.
Now I will say this year's Hall of Fame class, 2025, Ichiro Suzuki, CeCe Bathia, and Billy Wagner, I think they're all three deserving.
Yeah.
Maybe you can make a case of Billy, but CeCe and Ichiro, I think, are no-brainers.
Well, Ichiro is definitely a no-brainer. CeCe, yeah, you can put his stuff up against previous pitchers. I think Jim Cott won 287 games, didn't get in, you know, won the Gold Glove like 15 times as a pitcher, but it's a different era now. Even if you look at the current pitchers who have you know, the most wins, obviously Justin Verlander's up there in the 250s, and then Scherzer in the 230s maybe. There aren't hardly anybody. I think the third place guy's somewhere in the hundreds. And it's just, you know, I don't know if the current pitchers, for one thing, will be Hall of Fame worthy, because they're just not going to have the numbers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you think of a pitcher other than Verlander and Scherzer that will be –
Kershaw?
Kershaw, sure. Yeah. I guess there's probably three or four, but it's not like it used to be.
You
hate to be that old guy saying, you know, when Seaver and Gibson and Nolan Ryan and all those guys were on the mound, it's not quite the same.
And Ichiro didn't even get 100% of the votes. He got 99.7.
Yeah.
You see, he was 68.8. Billy Wagner was 82.5. I'm trying to see who some new names are on the ballot for next year, 2026. I mean, here's your 33 guys. Carlos Beltran, Andrew Jones.
No.
His ninth year on the ballot. Chase Utley.
No.
Alex Rodriguez.
Yes.
Manny Ramirez.
Yes.
10th year on the ballot, by the way.
I know. They won't make it, but I'm saying those
two. Andy Pettit?
Not quite.
Felix Hernandez?
Pettit is borderline. Who's that last one?
Felix Hernandez.
King Felix?
Mm-hmm.
At his best, he was pretty good, but probably not.
Bobby Abreu.
No.
Jimmy Rollins.
No.
Omar Vizquel.
They like their fielding shortstops. That's
ninth year on the ballot. Dustin Pedroia.
Who's that one?
Dustin Pedroia.
No. He was MVP 1 year. But
Mark Burley.
No.
Francisco Rodriguez.
No.
David Wright.
No.
Torrey Hunter.
No, you're reading me the Hall of Very Good here.
And now these, all the rest are first-time timers. Cole Hamels?
No.
Ryan Braun?
No.
Alex Gordon?
No.
Sin Shu Chu?
No, no, no.
Edwin Encarnacion?
No.
Howie Kendrick?
No.
Nick Markakis?
No.
Hunter Pence?
No.
Gio Gonzalez?
No.
Matt Kemp?
Matt who?
Kemp?
Oh, no.
Jason Kipnis?
No.
Daniel Murphy?
Most of these guys are going to be on 1 year and out. They won't get to 5%, I don't think.
Rick Porcello?
No.
Matt Wieters?
No.
Jeff Samardzija?
No.
Chris Davis?
No.
Kelvin Herrera?
No.
And Edison Volquez.
Has there ever been a worse first?
That's awful. That's terrible.
Oh my God.
That's terrible.
Yeah. Some of them can still start for the Rockies, but that's about it.
Yeah, that's about it. That's about it. We were talking about Ichiro a little bit. He is getting his number 51 retired, as is Randy Johnson next year. They both were 51 for the Mariners, so they're doing a dual retirement there with that number.
Maybe they ought to give more players number 51. That seems to be two of their Mount Rushmore players that they've had.
Yep. Randy was traded, of course, from the Mariners to the Astros in at the 1998 trade deadline. Ichiro's version is going to be retired this year in August. Randy's next year.
Interesting.
And I was trying to find, I saw a stat that the other Hall of Famer or the other guys that have their retired jerseys are Ken Griffey Jr. and Edgar Martinez.
That's the other two of the Mount Rushmore. Yeah.
But I was trying to find how many guys in baseball have their jerseys retired by multiple teams.
Frank Robinson probably does.
Greg Maddux doesn't have retired by the Cubs, does he?
That's a good question. He would be another one that's in the ballpark anyway.
I'm trying to find this real quick.
Ohtani someday, maybe the Angels, even though he was only there a few years. You know, he was obviously one of their best players.
Yeah.
Bryce Harper.
Yeah, and Randy Johnson, yeah, of course, he's in the news a bunch today for this. And he was saying how he didn't want to leave Seattle when they traded him.
Yeah.
I'll keep digging, but I'm not finding anything. Oh, here, he's the 14th Hall of Famer to have his number retired by multiple clubs. But doesn't list who else those guys are.
Reggie Jackson, probably.
Yeah, that's crazy. Though. Yeah, I wouldn't guess there was that
I'm
many.
I'm sure if we dug it, if we really thought about it, we could come up with some.
Yeah. Yep. Any more baseball news? I mean, we'll go through the standings here, but you got anything else before we go through the standings? How much of the Cubs have you watched?
More of the Cubs this year. Than I have in the past few years. I guess I'm more of a fair weather guy, and they've been fun to watch. Schedule really eased up in May, and they took advantage of it with the Marlins, the Rockies, the you know, even the Reds, they won 5 out of 6 this week, and they just keep marching on.
Yep. Sean Shriver mentions how Matt Kemp and Jimmy Rollins both won MVPs.
Yes, and but he knows that neither one of them deserve the Hall of Fame.
Thad Mooney has questioned, does Pete Rose get in his first year post-death, or do the writers keep being petty? I don't think he's eligible yet.
Yeah, it won't happen for another a year and a half or two, but I can see some pettiness.
Yeah.
But he'll eventually get in, I think.
I found the list of guys here. So it's Frank Robinson, retired by Reds and Orioles and the then Indians.
Yeah.
Rod Carew by the Twins and Angels. Hank Aaron by Braves and Brewers.
Yeah.
Reggie Jackson by Athletics, and then a different number by the Yankees. Raleigh Fingers by the Athletics and Brewers. Carlton Fisk, one number with the Red Sox, another number with the White Sox. Greg 72 Maddox,
72
and
27.
Right. Nolan Ryan had 30 retired by the Angels, 34 by Astros and Rangers. Wade Boggs. Wow, he has his retired by the Devil Rays and the Red Sox. The Devil Rays retired his number.
And he got his 3,000th hit as a Yankee.
Yeah. Roy Halladay, retired by the Blue Jays, and then another number by the Phillies. Of course, Jackie Robinson by every team. Gil Hodges by the Mets and Dodgers. And Willie Mays by Giants and Mets.
Yeah, I'm not sure Willie did anything on the Mets that deserved it, or Hank Aaron did anything with the Brewers, but...
How about the two managers who have numbers retired with two different clubs?
Probably Sparky Anderson.
Sparky Anderson, number 10 by the Reds and number 11 by the Tigers. I'll give you the clubs for this one. Number 37. He would have been one that made sense. Or Lou Piniella, but no, neither one. This guy was retired by the Yankees and the Mets.
Wasn't Casey Stengel, was it?
Yep, number 37.
No, I was thinking him, but he wasn't real successful in that.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. If Thad Mooney sent me a text, it was an article of P. Rose was reinstated by MLB and is eligible for Baseball Hall of Fame. Okay.
Yeah.
He wasn't on that list I pulled up, so I'm glad to be corrected there. I think he should have been in a long, long time ago.
I think that he has to go into the Veterans Committee now, and they don't reconvene till the end of 2027, I believe it is.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Looking at the MLB standings in the American League East, the Yankees have a 5.5 game lead over the Blue Jays with a 36-22 record. You got the Rays 6.5 games behind, the Red Sox 8.5, and the Orioles 14 games behind. AL Central Tigers, one of the best teams in baseball, have a 6-game lead over the Guardians, a 7-game lead over the Twins, 8-game lead over the Royals, and a 20.5-game lead over the White Sox. Even though the White Sox, with an 18-41 record, they're not even close to being the worst team in the league.
No. Much improved, actually.
Much improved. Seattle Mariners have a 0.5-game lead over the Astros. The Rangers are 4 games back, Angels 6 games back, and Athletics are 10 games back. In National League East, the Mets have regained the lead. That it was the Phillies a week ago. They have a 1-game lead over the Phillies, a 9-game lead over the Nationals, 9.5-game lead over the Braves, and a 13-game lead over the Marlins. The Cubs have a 4-game lead over the Cardinals in the Central, a 5.5-game lead over the Brewers, 8.5 over the Reds, and 15.5 over the Pirates. And the Dodgers have a 2-game lead over the Padres in the NL West, a 3-game lead over the Giants, 8-game lead over the Diamondbacks, and a 27-game lead over the Rockies.
Yeah, the Rockies need to get hot.
6-22 at home and 3-28 on the road.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah, that's not good.
The only other teams in the league to have not reached double-digit road wins are the White Sox at 6-26 on the road, the Marlins at 9-17, and the Pirates at 9-22. There is no other team in the league that has not reached, there's one other team in the league that has not reached double-digit home wins. That's the Athletics, 9-19.
Well, and all those teams have pretty low payrolls if you think about it.
Yep, Yep. Very true. Very true. The Rays are 18-19 in at Steinbrenner Field for anybody keeping track at home.
Okay. I don't think anybody is.
Probably not. Probably not. So, any more baseball talk?
No, I think that ought to do it.
Well, let's actually, you want to get educated real quick?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, I think we both need it. Let's talk about some sporting events that have happened on this day on June 2nd. On this day in 1883, the first night baseball game under the lights was played where?
1883. I thought it was 1930.
It says 1883. It says first night baseball under lights. Maybe it's not a game. I don't know.
Ebbets Field.
Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Wow.
Which I knew that, but I didn't know it was 1883. So, yeah. On this day in 1901, Benjamin Adams was arrested for playing golf on a Sunday.
Yeah, you shouldn't do that, Benjamin Adams.
No idea. On this day in 1933, I don't know why this is under sports, but it's kind of cool. FDR authorized the first swimming pool built inside the White House.
Yeah, he had polio, so he needed some exercise.
Well, it's day 1935, future Baseball Hall of Fame slugger Babe Ruth announced his retirement as a player at the age of 40.
Okay.
On this day 1942, Red Sox star Ted Williams enlisted as a U.S. Navy aviator.
Yeah, he lost some good years in baseball, or his numbers would have been astronomical.
A lot of French Open, some LPGA. On this day, 1987, the Mariners drafted a guy named Ken Griffey Jr. with a number one overall pick.
Yeah, that worked out well.
Yeah, they probably, I know we've talked about the Mariners a lot, but they had a nice core there for a while in the 90s.
They sure did. They
couldn't keep any of them.
I think, 116 games, one regular season, but mm-hmm. they didn't get to the series.
Mm-hmm. That's gonna do it. Very slim pickings on June 2nd. Very slim pickings. But the On This Day segment is brought to you by, like it is every week, Mooney Woodcrafts. Mooney Woodcrafts is a veteran-owned and operated woodcraft shop based out of Texas with Indiana grassroots. They provide 100% hand-cut custom designs to fit your needs, and their pieces are a great addition to any home, office, or man cave. You can see some of their recently completed projects by visiting them at Mooney Woodcrafts on Instagram and on Facebook. And if you let them know the Tanner Jamin Show sent you, you get 15% off your first sign order. And I should make an update to the read, because they are now going by the handle on Instagram of Mooney Wood Laser Crafts, because yeah. that is expanding not just in the wood game, but the laser game as well. So get a hold of Thad and let him make you something nice. So whether by laser or by wood, I know he's always experimenting with some things. So probably too late to get something for Father's Day. Saying Father's Day is next Sunday, but never too early to start thinking about Christmas. All right.
Good point.
Well, NBA, before we dive into it, my blind rankings this week has to do with the NBA. And I said earlier in the pod, it's going to be a Pacers heavy episode, and my blind rankings has to do with the Indiana Pacers. I'm going to give you five Indiana Pacers that were pretty darn good players for them, but couldn't quite get the team over the hump into an NBA Finals.
Okay.
And you can rank them however you want, by how you liked them, by how you think their career went, however you like. I'd go okay. career if I were you.
All right, I'll go career.
Starting with Victor Oladipo.
Five. Yeah, pretty short career for the Pacers. I mean, he had three or four pretty explosive seasons, but yeah. He's probably actually the best guy in his draft.
You know, number two overall.
Bennett, and then Cody Zeller's college teammate was
number four. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember who was third.
I don't either. I think it was one of the worst drafts in NBA history, but Oladipo did make some all-star teams and was pretty productive.
That would have been 2013 NBA draft, I believe. Otto Porter Jr. was taken number 3 overall.
There you go.
Alex Lynn was taken 5th.
He's still hanging around, but he's doesn't get much time.
I'm just Nerlens Noel 6th, Ben McLemore, KCP, Trey Burke, CJ McCollum, Michael Carter Williams, Steven Adams, Kelly Olynyk, Shabazz Muhammad, Greek Freak number 15. There you
go.
There's,
It took a while to hit big.
Holy cow.
But I guess Oladipo was probably 2nd.
The Pacers took Solomon Hill 23rd that year.
Right.
Rudy Gobert went 27th.
Okay.
But, yeah, that was not a
– let's put it this way. It was one of the worst years for college players coming
yeah,
in.
Yeah, it was not a very good – not a very good draft.
No.
At all. Danny Granger.
Pretty solid all-star, probably, you know, a top 15 to 20 player in the league during the majority of his career. I would say let's go 3rd with Danny.
3rd. Paul George.
Yeah, he had his moments, you know. It's,
still playing.
What's that?
He's still playing today.
Yeah. I'd put Paul above Danny. Let's put him 2nd.
Okay. Roy Hibbert.
4th.
4th. And last but not least, this has got to be your number 1, Jermaine O'Neal.
Yeah, I kept waiting for Reggie. Yeah, I would probably still keep Jermaine 1st.
Okay. He was the dude for those years he played for the Pacers.
Yeah. Yeah. How many years did he play for the Pacers?
I'm not giving that up.
Okay.
I'm not telling you how many years any of those guys. And I did not put Reggie in there because I thought he'd be about everybody's number 1.
So. Yeah, he would have to be because he was there 18 years. You know, he only made – best he ever made was 3rd team All-NBA.
5-time All-Star.
Yeah, but he was a member of the top 75 players in history. He was probably near the bottom of that, but big-time moments, he had those. So. Yeah.
It's interesting enough, 3 of those 5 were drafted by the Pacers.
Mm-hmm.
Hibbert, Granger, and George. Oladipo traded with the Thunder, and Jermaine O'Neal traded with the Blazers.
Mm-hmm.
So, yep. There you go. But all good players. I mean, all had – Hibbert wasn't the main guy. I think all the rest you could argue were the main guy at one point or another for a short era of their Pacers career.
And they all had, I'd say, more than moderate success in the playoffs. Well, I guess Danny Granger really never did. But
he took an 8th-seeded Pacer team in the 2010-11 season, gave the number 1 seed Bulls all they wanted.
They did.
But that was about it. And then he traded them either next year or 2 years later, just when they started becoming pretty good and competing against LeBron's Heat.
Yeah, and Paul George became his replacement.
Yes. Yes. So, but a lot of people say that Danny Granger walked, so a lot of the Pacers can run now. Years ago. So, that blind ranking segment is brought to you by, like it is every week in 2025, Performa Print 2 Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for next trade show, company picnic, or sales meeting, Performa Print 2 Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs. So you need to look no further. Let them be your one-source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815. How, for your playoff watching, how does this year compare to years of the past? Have you watched more of the NBA playoffs, less, about the same?
I would say less, but I do pay attention to it. You know, I don't sit down and watch entire games. I follow it on my iPad while I'm watching other television and turn it. And I usually catch the last, you know, 5 to 10 minutes of some of the games. You know, the first couple rounds were incredible, you know, tight games, huge comebacks. I would say that the Western and Eastern Conference Finals were pretty mundane. Obviously, the Pacers-Knicks was more exciting than the Timberwolves and the Thunder. But, you know, I think the Pacers just broke the Knicks' heart in game one when they came from 14 down with less than 3 minutes to go. Mm-hmm. I think it's could be entirely different if that hadn't happened.
Or if Halliburton shot then if that bounce doesn't go in.
Yeah. Yeah. He was very fortunate that it fell. Unfortunate that he had a quarter of an inch over the line. You know, gave the choke gesture, maybe a little prematurely.
Yeah, but at least for Pacers that aged well. That's gonna be a Pacers lure forever now. Whereas if they lost that game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, he had some theatrics against Cleveland, too. One was just a wide open layup. But, the Pacers, they earned their way, you know. I have to admit, deep down, I think the Celtics are the best team in the East.
Yes, but, I do, too.
But the Pacers, interesting enough, didn't do anything last year. I mean, they kept their core together while, you know, New York, made a trade, got Towns. Got rid of DiVincenzo and Julius Randle. Pacers, you know, they kept their coach. They kept their patience. You know, everybody thought it was kind of a fluke run last year, the Eastern Conference Final. Well, they proved this year it was no fluke. I mean, I wasn't even sure about them. When they started out as a 4 seed this year against Milwaukee, you thought, well, Milwaukee's got the best player by far. They handled their business. A lot of tough games. Beat them 4-1. Beat the Cavs 4-1. Beat the Knicks 4-2. So they're 12-4, and that's what the Thunder is in the playoffs. You know, they lost 3 times to Denver. So, and could have lost a fourth. I think it'll be an interesting series. I don't think it will be great in the ratings, and not just because they're both Midwestern small market type teams, but they don't really have villains. You either like to watch teams because you love them or you hate them. And I don't – maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think people hate either team.
I think the Pacers are hated in New York City.
Well, they might be hated in New York City.
I mean, they've won 6 of the last 7 series against the Knicks, including 4 in a row now.
That's fair enough. But, Oklahoma City, they both have star guards. Shai Gilgeous got the MVP this year.
Shouldn't have.
But for whatever reason, you know, and Halliburton's been outstanding. Mm. If most people would list the top 7 or 8 players in the NBA, you know, I don't know if either one of them would be on the list typically. You know, you do the LeBron and Steph and Luka and Jokic and some Giannis. Of those. Giannis, yeah. So I think it'll be good basketball.
Yeah.
And neither team, like you said, although Seattle won in 78 or 9, neither team's won. What is also interesting because the Timberwolves hadn't either.
Never been there.
And the Knicks hadn't won since 1973, so you might as well say they've never won. I mean,
right.
70% of the world wasn't born last time the Knicks were there. So I think it'll be a good basketball series. I think the Pacers will be very competitive. It'd be behoove them to probably win one of the first 2 games if you want to really make it interesting. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, I can't remember. Is the NBA final still the 2-3-2 format, or is that 2-2-1-1-1?
Just like the Eastern Conference and West, 2-2-1-1-1-1.
And both fan bases are starved.
Yep.
Oklahoma City's like a college atmosphere, and Indianapolis goes nuts when the Pacers are
Indiana, good. Period. Over the weekend around Fort Wayne, I saw more Pacer gear.
Yeah,
and I've seen it in a long time. I mean, Indiana's a basketball state. It's a buzz. You know, this is only the 4th time ever that a state has had a college make a national championship and the NBA team make the finals within a 2-year stretch. Only the 4th time ever. And I wonder if it's the first time ever if you throw a college football team in, make the national championship in the mix.
Yeah.
Notre Dame.
And then, of course, you have the Fever. You know,
and even Indiana football, I got to give them props. They made the college football playoffs. So,
absolutely.
You know, it's Indiana's. Then you got the Colts.
Yeah. Danny Dimes, my man. Danny Dimes.
Yeah. It is interesting, though, the Pacers, back in December at one point, they were 10-15 in the 11th seed in the East. Yeah. Come a long way.
Yeah, I remember a good listener of your show, Sean Schreiber, texted me about the Pacers. And I said, yeah, they're no good.
Yeah.
They, but they've really been one of the best teams in the NBA since January 1st.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. So I guess that's how you got to look at it. I realize now what does November and December games mean. But were you surprised that Siakam was voted the most valuable player in the Eastern Conference?
I was. I was happy for him. I think it was very well deserved. But I just thought Halliburton right away. And when they said Siakam, I'm like, oh, wow. But yeah, he's been a man.
It was a media vote, and it was 5-4. It was one of those that go either way. But, you know, I thought it was interesting, and I wrote down.
I bet Greg Doyle didn't vote for him.
Greg Doyle, yeah, probably not. That's a whole nother story.
Yeah, that's a whole nother rabbit hole.
You know, they started making finals MVPs in 1969. And the first guy to win was Jerry West, and they actually lost the playoff series to the Celtics.
The logo.
But I looked at every finals MVP since 69, and there's only two guys in that whole list that weren't or aren't going to be Hall of Famers.
Andre Iguodala?
Yeah, and he might be.
I mean, good player, but come on.
Yeah, he might be just because he did make an Olympic team, and, you know, he was on a lot of the Golden State championship teams. But he was never a top 25 or 30 player in the league, which to me, if you're a top 20 player in the league for a 5 to 10 year stretch, then you probably need to be in the Hall of Fame. But he was not that. You know, Jaylen Brown last year, he's probably borderline right now. He just needs to continue what he's doing. But there was another guy way before your time, 1981, Cornbread Maxwell.
Oh, I've heard the name.
And Celtics.
Yeah.
The Celtics that year had Parrish, McHale, Bird, and Dennis Johnson all in the Hall of Fame. But Cornbread was the winner. So normally it goes to the best player on the winning team, regardless of, you know, when Iguodala won it, most people thought Steph was going to win it.
Yeah.
He just had a bad series for him. He had one great game, the closeout game.
Yeah, but, you know, even though only certain guys get accolades for MVP, a lot of times it's the role players that get you there. How many – the Lakers and the Rockets and the Spurs wouldn't have as many titles as they do without Robert Horry.
No.
Hitting clutch shots. So
yeah, he's kind of I see some people are pushing for him for the Hall of Fame.
Oh, come on. What? Seven rings, but like – Yeah,
8 point a game guy, you know, just happened to play with Kobe and
let's just go throw Scott Pollard in there while we're at it. First random guy to come to my name. No offense to you, Scott.
No, Scott Pollard from Survivor fame. He was on Survivor a few years ago.
Kansas Jayhawk, and I just remember, of course, he was a Pacer, but I remember him best as a King. He'd paint his fingernails.
Yeah,
he was an interesting dude.
He wasn't quite as good as Robert Horry, but
no, he wasn't. I just literally first guy that came to my name. I was trying to think of a guy that in the 9 years of doing the TNJ match, I don't think he'd ever been mentioned. So
yeah, can you remember what you think is the greatest NBA championship performance you ever saw?
I playoff wise, it was LeBron on the Cavs, but I don't think in the championship.
Well, I remember the year the Bucks won at the final game. I think Giannis had 50, 15, and then he blocked a shot that the only one more famous block might have been by LeBron when he kept Golden State from winning it. But
Kawhi was pretty special when the Raptors won.
Yeah. Yeah. Overall, the whole time.
Yeah.
Of course, when I was young, Magic Johnson had to play center in Game 6. Mm-hmm. Kareem got hurt, and he went for 42-15. He's a rookie, and I don't know if Magic ever scored more than 42 in a game, but he did when it mattered, you know. So,
pretty good ball player.
Yeah. So the NBA Finals usually produces some pretty good results. I did have a few things I thought was interesting, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Most career points in NBA Finals is Jerry West. and his teams went 1-8 in final history.
And he's the logo.
They had to play the Celtics. Most points in a game was Elgin Baylor at 61. He played with West. And once again, he never won a title because he had to go against the Celtics. Here's the one I thought was interesting. Most free throws in a game. Shaq shot 39 free throws against the Pacers back in, what was that, 2000?
2000. Wow.
39 free throws in one game.
SGA might beat it.
Yeah, SGA. most rebounds in a game, Bill Russell had 40 twice. Think about 40 rebounds. And one other interesting
thing. Think about how many more rebounds he probably would have had if there was a three-point line.
Yeah. But teams in those days, they didn't even work for 24 seconds. It was
yeah.
The ball went up in a hurry. But
yeah,
that's still pretty incredible.
Yeah.
This year will be the seventh different champ in the last 7 years.
That's pretty good parity.
Yeah. 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 And the NBA, of all sports that likes dynasties, the NBA is the one, you know, the Kobe Shaq 3 years, the Michael Jordan three-peat, and then doing it again three-peat. And, you know, the Spurs winning five in like 11 years. They're kind of like the Patriots.
They were. I always used to compare the Spurs, the Patriots, and the Cardinals as teams that were just solid every year, and then they would win it.
Just got tired of them. Mm-hmm. No real reason, although the Patriots gave you some reason to hate them. But
right.
You just got grew tired of them.
Yep.
But so I don't know if parity is a good thing in the NBA or not. You know, it looks like the era of the super teams is kind of going away, you know, where – you know, LeBron kind of started. Well, actually, the Celtics started it.
Celtics started it.
Yeah. But, you know, Celtics, Garnett, Pierce came over to play with
Ray Allen.
And then and not one, not two, not three, LeBron, you know.
Yeah.
With the Heat. But it just seems like super teams kind of don't make it.
Well, I got to give you kudos. Last time you filled in for J-Man, you brought up the – you know, conspiracy theory of the Mavericks potentially winning the draft lottery, Cooper Flagg, and it happened. So
yeah. Yeah. And since that time, Shaquille O'Neal said when he was coming out, David Stern was the commissioner at the time. He goes, "You prefer warm weather or cold weather?" And he said, "Warm weather." And Stern winked at him. Next thing you knew, he's Orlando Magic instead of Minnesota Timberwolf.
I'll just always remember David Stern at the draft the 1 year when he was getting booed, doing the Hulk Hogan earwave to the crowd, just leaning right into it.
Yeah. You know, Adam Silver was always everybody's favorite commissioner. I don't know how much longer that's going to hang on there.
No commissioners liked. I mean, they all get paid a lot of money for.
Yeah. NFL commissioners making $45 million a year. Yeah. It's really a good gig if you can get it.
No kidding. Yeah. No kidding. Who are you predicting to win the finals? And how many games?
I got to go with OKC, and I would say six.
I'm right there with you. I think the series ends in six, either Pacers or Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
I know Austin Shepard last night on one of my other podcasts, big Pacers fan. He said Pacers in seven. He has the Pacers going into Oklahoma City and winning that seventh game. But even though I am agreeing with you, OKC and six, this will be Tanner's book of prediction of the week, since I'm filling in for the J-Man on this segment. The Pacers will win on the road game one Thursday night in Oklahoma City.
Wow. That would catch people's attention.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
So that's I'm going bold. And that is J-Man's Book of Predictions of the Week, brought to you by Travis Watchering Insurance Agency. Travis Watchering is a multi-line agent for Indiana Farm Bureau Insurance, specializing in home insurance, auto insurance, life insurance, renters insurance, annuities, and more. Contact Travis at 219-869-4561. And Travis is a big, big, big Pacer fan. I believe he's a partial season ticket holder. I know he's been to multiple playoff games this year. So hopefully for him, hopefully he'll be able to go to a finals game.
So, absolutely. Yeah. That would be great.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen around here very often.
25 years. I mean, I was going into third grade the last time the Pacers made the finals.
I love it that jerks like Stephen A. Smith have to spend the next 2 weeks in either Oklahoma City.
He won't even tweet. He won't even tweet. He's so upset.
And when did it become okay for sportscasters to be have a favorite team and just have to throw them down your throat?
Within the last year or two, for some reason. They're not journalists anymore. They're fans all of a sudden.
Yeah.
I know Mike
Tirico said that really bothered him, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
And these morning shows, in there's three or four of them. All they do is criticize after teams get beat. So now, right. You know, it's all about can the Knicks, should Thibodeau be canned?
Yeah.
Carl Anthony Towns, should he be ran out of town? Yeah. You know, they were just in the first Final Four they've been in decades. And, you know, last year when Luka took Dallas on his back to the finals and didn't win it. Okay, Luka's got to do this, yeah. Or he'll never be a winner. And
it's because it gets people like you fired up. It gets clicks. We're in a clickbait world more than ever.
Ask Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson how much they like this stuff too. You know, can't climb Mount Mahomes.
Yeah.
Even though Buffalo averaged over 30 points a game against them last year, you got to have some help.
Yep, no doubt. No doubt. No doubt. So any other thoughts with NBA?
No, looking forward to it. It's Thursday. Hopefully the Pacers, Nesmith gets his ankle feeling a little bit better. Both teams have tremendous depth.
Yep.
Like I said, there's two main stars. Siakam's also extremely good and champion. But boy, Oklahoma City, they could be set up if they can keep all these guys together.
Yep.
They could be the Spurs of this generation.
They looked like they were going to be last time when they were in the finals, and it didn't happen. So
that's exactly right. But they still have ungodly amount of number one picks coming over the next few years too. Oklahoma City could be a team that's hated in a few years because they might be really good.
Well, and like a fan base like that, like you said, that's their only professional sports team in the state, so they can be pretty passionate about it. Could get pretty annoying.
Skip Bayless guarantees them in five.
Skip's just he's a peach. He's a peach. He's a peach. I am looking forward to the Inside the NBA crew going to ESPN next year. They're gonna bring some nice vibes to ESPN. Let's put it that way.
ESPN needs all the help they can
get. Yes, they can. But those four are great. Ernie, Shaq, Kenny, Charles. They're great. So all right, I've got about six more minutes. Let's talk a little golf. Scottie Scheffler, once again victorious yesterday in the Memorial Tournament, back-to-back years. All this dude does is win golf tournaments.
Yeah, he's very Tiger-like, except he's not as demonstrative. He just could, you know, you thought it was Rory's year earlier in the year. Like, he won the Players and the Masters. It looked like he was easily going to be Player of the Year. And right now, I'd say it's Scotty. You know, the Memorial doesn't quite hold the panache of the Players, but in the PGA, not quite the same, even though it's a major as the Masters. But Scotty gets it done. And, you know, we have a huge tournament coming up next week, U.S. Open. And I've been seeing some reports that they don't think anybody's going to break par there this year.
So
Rory was playing this year. Or today, and I think they said he was four or five over after eight.
Jeez.
They have a 298-yard par three on hole eight. Slightly downhill.
Jeez.
Good luck birdieing that. And they said, well, you got to remember, Dustin Johnson bogeyed that when he won the U.S. Open in 2016 there. And he goes, yeah, but did he take a seven on hole three? Rory did today, so.
Yeah. Better to do it now than next week, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, shortest time between first and 16th win. Sam Snead, 2 years, 6 months, 1 day. Jack Nicklaus, the Golden Bear, 3 years, 1 month, 22 days. Tiger, 3 years, 3 months, 3 days. Scotty Scheffler, 3 years, 3 months, 19 days. Pretty good company to join there.
Absolutely. You know, Jack Nicklaus's first major was won at Oakmont in 1962 over Arnold Palmer at the U.S. Open. And Arnie was from Latrobe, Pennsylvania, just down the road, had Arnie's Army. And at the time, Jack was an overweight guy. And they called him Fat Jack, and they were booing him while he was hitting shots. And So Oakmont produced, whoever's the best in the world at the time seems to win at Oakmont. Dustin Johnson in 2016. You remember that particular one? The ball moved when he was trying to putt, and he had that stroke, and they didn't tell him about it till the end. Oh, thank goodness it didn't matter. Because he went through that whole thing at Whistling Straits 4 or 5 years earlier. Where
then he missed the putt at Chambers Bay.
Yeah, the year before.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I predict some great big hitter of the ball.
Yeah. Since J-Man will be back next week, go ahead and throw out your prediction for U.S. Open.
Well, I'm just thinking it's going to be one of 7 or 8 guys, you know, obviously, but Scheffler's going to be in it, and Rory, more than likely. One of the two probably won't be in the top 5, but I wouldn't be shocked if both of them right there. I got to think DeChambeau's got to be considered in this one.
Back-to-back if he does it.
And he's won 2 U.S. Opens. If Koepka was in better form, I would think this would be ideal for him. The rough's going to be incredibly high, and he's a straight driver of the ball, or used to be. So, my pick is John Rahm on this.
That's what I was going to go with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He started getting his competitive juices a few weeks ago, had a couple bad breaks, and then kind of went to pot in the last 3 holes when he had to make birdie, birdie, birdie. You know, he went like double, double, double or whatever.
Yep.
But I think this is a Rahm one.
You got one more question before we get back to the birdie or bogey question. Good friend of the show, Aaron Lynch, and I have been debating this for a couple weeks now, especially since, even more so since Scotty won yesterday. He thinks Scotty Scheffler with 16 PGA Tour wins will eventually pass Phil Mickelson, who has 45 career PGA Tour wins. That's 29 more.
Yeah.
Do you agree or not? I'm in the camp no, because I said even though he's dominating, a lot can happen. And that's still averaging a decent amount of wins every year. Injuries can happen. More competition's on the rise all the time.
Yeah.
But he is dominant right now.
He is. You know, and a little bit of that, not a lot, but Rahm and DeChambeau and maybe a couple others are no longer on the tour. You know, they might have been able to battle him out once or twice. But there's some young studs coming up. I'm telling you, the U.S. Open qualifier today, there was some amateurs that was 18 under at one place, 36 holes. So I don't think he gets to 45. I think he'll get – Phil had 6 majors. I wouldn't be surprised if Scotty ends up with 7 or 8.
Yeah, that one. I think he'll pass Phil in majors. I just – 29 more tournaments, that's a lot. But
there's only been – probably 15 to 20 guys who have won 29 tournaments their whole career.
Yeah.
And most of them are years ago, the Palmers, Sneeds, Hogan's. I know Vijay Singh, you know, he had quite a career. He won 34.
Yeah.
I don't see him getting a 45. You on that.
Yeah. So, but it'll be interesting to follow. Interesting debate.
So, you know, if he wins about 3 more this year and then another 6 or 7 next year, now you're starting to.
Yeah, Phil's tweet of Scotty not winning before the Ryder Cup did not age well.
Not winning the Ryder Cup.
Not winning before, remember? He came out earlier this year and said Scotty Scheffler wouldn't win a tournament this year, pretty much before the Ryder Cup or something, before some deadline, and it's aged very poorly, and Phil's even said that was bad.
Yeah, Phil's one of my all-time favorites, but sometimes he'd be better just keep his mouth a little quiet.
Yes, he would. Yes, he would. So,
maybe
this is the year Phil finally completes the career grand slam. Nobody's even talking about it because it won't happen. But
yeah, he's 55, 56 years old.
If he makes the cut, it'd be a story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's probably the most accomplished golfer after he turned 40. He's won 3 majors after the age of 40. But I think that's it for him, I think.
I think so, too. He's still okay.
The only major I can ever see somebody like that winning might be the Open or the British Open. You know, Watson gave it a run when he was 58. He wasn't a great player.
I'm looking forward to Ricky competing when he's in his 50s.
Well, Ricky was one back today with 6 holes to go of potentially qualifying.
It looked like he needed to go 3 under his last 4 holes last time I knew. So.
Oh.
I'm guessing he didn't, but I haven't. Let's see. 4 minutes ago, he's in a 5-for-1 playoff to clinch a spot in the U.S. Open. 4 minutes ago. Yeah.
He's in it right now?
Yeah, a 5-for-1 playoff.
So he's got a 20% chance.
Yep. So I will guess I will tune into the Golf Channel here momentarily. Okay, birdie or bogey. Six players all-time history in the Indiana Pacers have played for the Pacers for 10 or more seasons. Name those six guys.
Reggie Miller.
Reggie Miller played all 18 years of his career as a Pacer.
I tried to write some. It's funny. There's like a decade and a half I couldn't think of any Pacers. So I'm going to go. I'm going to say Rick Smits played 10
Rick
years.
Smits played 12. All right.
I think Dale Davis might have.
Dale Davis played 10. Oh, my gosh. You're one away from a par.
And I'm going to go Jermaine O'Neal.
He played 7.
All right. I got two more. How about Mel Daniels?
Mel Daniels not on this list.
He was all ABA, huh? Okay. And then the other guy I had written down was Antonio Davis.
Nope. I thought you would, because they just mentioned this other guy who also has 10s, Miles Turner. They mentioned that during the trophy presentation.
Yeah.
Vern Fleming played 11 years.
Yeah, from University of Georgia.
In the second longest tenure in Pacer history, Jeff Foster played 13 years for the Pacers.
He's the kind of guy I couldn't remember. I even jotted down a guy named Don Boozy before your time.
You know, 3 out of 6 is better than I thought you were going to do. Dale Davis was a good poll. I thought you'd get Reggie and Smits, but I didn't think you'd get any others. So,
Well, just average is normal.
Well,
give me a bogey.
I bet J-Man would have got one. That makes you feel better.
It's hard to think of Pacers. They don't come on TV up here in Rochester, Indiana.
No, they don't. They don't. I thought Austin Crozier might be close, but I think he was 7 or 8 years. So.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. So. Well, Dad, thanks again for filling in for the J, man. Always appreciate it. It was fun.
All right. I had fun.
Yes. Yes. And, Sean, should I real quick, how could a basketball fan not get all six?
14 out of 100 free throws, Sean.
thanks, everybody. Have a great week. Catch you next week at same time, same channel.